That's a pretty awesome song. It's an oldie, but man, it's a goodie, right? And when we sing that, oftentimes, you know, I've talked about this before, we sing what we don't really mean or believe, and man, our God is awesome. And how great is He, really? And that's personal, right? Because He's a God that desires personal relationship. So you need to think about that. So, excuse me, I got a frog in my throat. This morning, man, it's a good day to be here. Sun's shining, it's cool. I kind of wish that, I forget that we live in Missouri, and the weather's always confusing in Missouri, so you never know what you're going to get, but man, I wish it would just stay one way or the other, so it's hard on people. Open your Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. We're going to wrap up chapter 1 today. It was a pretty short chapter, but last week we looked at these 2.5 tribes. We looked at what they made a deal, right? They said, we really like, you know, they're traveling with children of Israel with this mass amount of people, and they're traveling and they're headed to the promised land. It's just taken them a little bit longer than God intended, right? 40 years longer than God intended. But they came upon this place and they're like, man, This land is perfect for us. This land is perfect for our livestock. It would be perfect to raise our family here. And Moses, we kind of would rather just stay here. We would rather this be our land. And what do you think about that? And if you'll allow us to have this land when it's time, when the time finally comes to cross the Jordan River and go into the promised land, we'll leave all of our stuff. The men will go, and we'll go before, and we'll fight, and we'll battle, and we'll do all these things. And this is the deal that they made. And Moses is like, okay, you can do that, but you're going to have to follow through on what you said. And so Joshua, last week we looked at how Joshua went to these 2.5 tribes and said, hey, now's the time. We're about to finally go where God intended us for us to go. And it's time for you to be on board, right? It's time for you to follow through with your word. And it takes, and what my thrust last week was, is it takes every single person being on board for God's mission to go forward, right? Not that He needs us, because He can do it. He can find, you know, He could get tired of us and be like, okay, never mind. I don't need you guys. We're just going to do this. But He desires to use us because, man, it brings Him glory. And if these 2.5 tribes would have said, never mind, we're not going to follow through on our deal, there would have been consequences for that. Not only for them, because we know that we read in the text in the Old Testament there that their sin would be found out, right? There would be consequences for their sin, and there would be no way to hide from their sin. So if they would have told Joshua, I don't know what you're talking about. We didn't make that deal. Whatever it is, there would have been great consequences for them. There would have been great consequences for the children of Israel. There would have been, it's a trickling effect. And the point of that is that our sin affects other people's sin. Okay? It doesn't just affect us, but it affects everyone around us. And the way we act represents the way the body of Christ is. And, you know, that's why the world has this stigma on believers, right? Although this is how they are. Well, this may be how some of them are, but this is not how God intended for us to be as the church. So these tribes, they were called out. Joshua went to them and he says, I'm just going to read it real quick. It says, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. So he tells them, you need to remember, okay, remember what the deal was, remember what God gave you already, and remember that here's the thing, your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in this land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan, but ye, he calls them out, ye shall pass before your brethren armed all the mighty men of valor and help them. How long? Right? How long? It doesn't say. It doesn't say. It just says, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest. There's no timeline there. There's no days, minutes, hours, years. they had to be willing to spend the rest of their life doing what God intended for them to do because of the deal they made. And the same goes for us, right? God gave us eternal life through a relationship with Jesus Christ himself. And now we are in this battle, right? This battle until Jesus comes back or he calls us home. And we don't know the timeline of that. We were talking, a couple of us talking this morning. It must be getting close, right? But for our mentality and our thinking, our close is like minutes, days, weeks, even a year. In God's timing, he's like, it could be 1,000 years. We don't know. But I do know that it's getting close, right? I mean, the Bible is just unfolding before our eyes and prophecies coming through. And it's just like, man. But they had to be willing to say, all right, wives and children and everything that I have, all of this stuff. Joshua is reminding us that we made a deal. And the title for today's message is The Answer That God Is Looking For. And this is easily applicable to each one of our lives if we will just be obedient. But it's not necessarily easy, because the answer that God is looking for is most of the time not the answer that we're willing to give or the answer that we're willing to accept. Oftentimes, we're like, that's crazy. That's you're off your rocker. I can't believe that you would even bring that up to me, Lord. And so today we're going to wrap up this chapter and we're going to see the answer that God's looking for. And this is what believers, this is the heart that we should have. This is the church. We should be so ready when God says, okay, the time is now, we need you to go. We should be this. So in Joshua chapter 1, verse 16 through 18, it says, and they answered Joshua saying, all that thou commandest, we will do. And whithersoever thou send us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God will be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whatsoever he be that doeth doth rebel against thy commandments, and will not hearken unto thy words and all thy commandest, and all thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. God, I pray today, God, that our hearts are soft. God, we all need work. We all have places in our lives that need to change. And God, we all need you, most of all, to do that. You know, God, we need to be willing, but we need to come to the one that can change us, the one that can fix us, the one that can mold us into who you desire us to be. And today I pray that just this simple passage of simple obedience, just the answer that you're looking for, God, I pray it would change us. And God, that we wouldn't be quick to give a no when something's asked of us, but God, that we would, man, we would make sure that this is your will, this is your purpose, this is your desire in our lives, and that the instruction is coming from you. And you've given us your word, and we just need to be diligent to be in it. So God, I pray today that you're glorified, you're magnified. God, I pray today that hearts are soft to receive your word, and the God, that you speak boldly through me today. And Father, it's clear to understand. So we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Joshua, we know Joshua's the new appointed leader. Moses is dead. Joshua's the leader now. He's the head honcho. He's the one in charge. God had chosen him to do that. He had been prepared for this. But Joshua talked with them, and now we see their response. And in the flesh, when you're reading through something, right? Like if you'd never read this passage before and you got to this point, my thinking is like, oh, these knotheads, they're going to be like, no way, not going to happen, right? Because we just tend to have this negative tendency to us that where we're thinking these people are just going to be stupid and they're not going to do what they're supposed to do. And then it's like, wow, that's a breath of fresh air. And I want us to take a minute and think about the answer that we give God when he tells us to do something. When he gives us instruction, right, through his word, or what do we do? What is it when it comes time for us to do our part? You know, here's the thing, is that God truly has already done his part, right? He provided a way to have a relationship, to be reconciled back to him, right? Sin severed that, and there was this great gulf. There was no way to get to God, and he said, okay, here's the way, and Jesus is the only way. And I'm going to provide that way through my son, and salvation is offered to all that believe. And so he'd already given these 2.5 tribes, he'd already given them their land early, right? And now it was time to go to work. Just like us as New Testament believers, we're given new life through the finished work of the cross, okay? Before we're even born, that opportunity is there, okay? The work of the cross is done. Okay, and then we're born into this world all cute and cuddly and still a sinner, right? Still in need of a Savior. No matter how cute and cuddly and perfect and whatever oohs and ahs you want to say, when we birth children into this world, they're birthed into sin, right? They can't help it. But the way has already been made. So for us as believers, we're given the new life through the finished work of the cross. And now it's time for us to go to work, right? We know that James says to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer, right? Because it's easy to hear, right? Some of us, it's easy for us to hear. We may hear it, we just may not comprehend it or accept it, okay? So, but to be a doer, we have to sit down, put our boots on, get ready to go and do something. Obedient Christians are doer Christians. You know, we know we're saved by grace through faith. This has nothing to do with salvation, okay? This is after salvation. But after we're born again, we must be willing to be used by God. We must be willing to answer, yes, Lord. So when God asks us or commands us to do something, do we do it? Do we give God the answer he's looking for? Verse 16 starts like this, and they answer Joshua saying, all that thou commandest, we will do. And we need to remember that Joshua pictures Christ, right? So, and the people were to follow him and submit to his authority. And James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We have to submit ourselves to God, because if we don't, we're going to submit ourselves to some sort of authority. We will. We will submit ourselves to something. But if we would just submit ourselves to the Lord and follow him, man, the punk won't have a chance. We as believers in Christ are to follow and submit to Jesus Christ's authority, to God's authority. And when God speaks to us through his word, how do we respond? Right? God speaks, we read it, and do we ignore it? But how do we respond? When he called the disciples, and he's cruising through the land, and he's calling the disciples out, and he says, yo, forsake your nets and follow. I'm going to teach you how to be fishers of men. Follow me. They didn't say, now's not a good time. They dropped their nets, and they're like, heck yeah, let's go follow Jesus. But it doesn't always happen like this. You can also see Jesus when he has encounters with people and they're like, well, you know, my dad died. I got to go bury my dad. Well, let me go tell my mom and dad goodbye. Let me tell my family goodbye. We have excuses because it's not our timing. It's not the way we intended it to be. It's not how we wanted it to be. And these children of these 2.5 tribes, man, they had their homesteads set up and they were rocking and rolling and they were doing their thing. And then all of a sudden here comes Joshua. Hey, yo, the time is now. And they didn't say, well, we got some things we got to take care of first. No, it doesn't say that. It says, and they answered Joshua saying, all thou commandest, we will do. And wherever you send us, we're going to go. This stuff will take care of itself. When he reminds us of what we are to be doing, how do we respond? I need reminded constantly. We all need reminded constantly. And then, you know, they go on. So they say, whatever you say we're going to do, whatever you say we'll do, wherever you send us, we will go. And the funny part about this year, it's just a coincidence that God has us in the book of Joshua in a year that he has a theme for us to go. Okay? And it's just repeated over and over and over and over again, okay? That's just a God thing. That's not, I didn't Google what's a good book to about going. No, this is where God directed us to go. And this just happens to just be an overwhelming theme of what's going on. And this year, we are about going to our homes, right? To our own homes, to our neighbors' homes, to the neighbors down the street. As far as the east is from the west, there's no boundaries to where God will take us or where he'll allow us to go. He wants us to just be going. And God has given us amazing opportunities this year. But it's not something new. That's the thing. This isn't something new because we're told to go. Okay? From the beginning, from the moment we meet Jesus Christ, we need to be going and telling people about that. And you know what? That zeal that we have when we first get saved, man, we can't help but tell everybody about that. And then that kind of wears off. The new wears off. We kind of settle in. And then we begin to settle. And then we're cool with just not doing anything. He desires for us to be going all the time. He desired for the children of Israel not to wander for 40 years. But they did. They chose to murmur and complain, so God allowed them to wander around, right? To suffer a little. They wasted so much time because they simply would not do what God instructed them to do. But we must not forget the faithfulness of God. He promised them something, and they were moments away from getting it. And now these 2.5 tribes were men of their words, and they were on board to follow the instructions of the mission. So the question for us, a question, many questions, but a question for us is, where are you willing to go? Where are you willing to go? Well, I'm willing to go to lunch after church, right? That's what we're thinking. I'm hungry. But truly, for the Lord, where are you willing to go? And in John chapter 6, verse 68, I'm going to read this to you. It says, Simon Peter asked Jesus, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." We must be willing to follow our Savior in his directions for our life. Because who else do we have to go to? Who else do we have to go for that truly, truly matters? Who are we willing to reach? If you're in the flesh, this means no one and nowhere. I'm not going anywhere and I'm not reaching anyone. But we know that in the flesh dwelleth no good thing. But walking in the Spirit means to follow whatever God says, whenever God says it. When I think about the obedience to follow God and his instructions, I cannot help but think about my brother Abraham. Okay? Because God asked him to do the unthinkable. He asked him to do one of those crazy, "That's lunatic. I cannot believe you're asking me to do that. I cannot believe that you would even think about asking me to do that." When God says, "Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son that you've waited so long for." And in Genesis chapter 22, you can see the story unfold, and we're not going to spend a great deal amount of time there, but Abraham had waited, and he even did some wrong things, and God still came through. And in Genesis chapter 22, in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of." What? That's crazy. But I don't have verse 2.2. in my Bible, where Abraham says, "That's crazy." No, my Bible goes from verse 2 to verse 3, and it says, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God told him." Obedience. Immediate obedience. God says, "Do this. I know you've waited so long for the son, and I know you love your son. But I need you to go and offer him as a sacrifice." And Abraham's like, "Okay, I trust you, Lord. I trust you." And what is so awesome about this story is that Abraham went all the way. He took Isaac, laid him on the altar, and he was about to do the deed. And God said, no, I'll provide a sacrifice. Your faithfulness, Abraham, your belief in me, your faith is an amazing thing. And you were willing to do the unthinkable for me. You were willing to do something that was completely out of your comfort zone, completely out of your realm of understanding, and you were willing to do that and go completely all the way with it. And it's an amazing thing. And God provided, right? He provided a ram. He provided a sacrifice. Because you know, when God asks you to do the unthinkable, He's looking just for obedience. He's just looking for you to say, you know what? I'll do it. Whatever it is. You want me to go to my neighbors? Do you understand how crazy my neighbors are, God? And He's like, No, I don't. Yes, I know how crazy your neighbors are, and that's why I want you to go to them. You know, this, the illustration of Abraham is a hard illustration for us to apply to our own lives, but just how far are you willing to go when God says go? Just how in tune are you with the voice of God? Because here's the thing. If Abraham would have been caught up in the moment and been screaming and crying and doing whatever, when he went to kill his son, he wouldn't have heard the voice of God. He wouldn't have been in tune with God's word. We must hear from the Lord. The noise that surrounds us, that distracts us, that just tears us down, oftentimes blocks out God's voice from speaking to us. Sometimes we have our fingers in our ears, but sometimes we're just so indulged in what's going on around us that we just are not listening to God. We know that God is clearly telling every single one of us to go. Every one of us. The Bible's very clear that we are to go. But where are your limits? Where is your line that you've drawn? Because we all draw lines. You know, I'll go this far. I'll do it for this long. I'll do whatever. But when I get to this point, we're going to change some things, God. This line right here, that's it. I'm not willing to go any farther than that. And these lines that we draw, church, are only temporary. They're only temporary. We may think they're permanent. That line is never moving. That's it. But they're only temporary. Because if I would have stopped at every line, I'll just give you an example of my life. If I would have stopped at every line that I drew, and you know why that saying of drawing a line in the sand? Because the sand just blows away. It's temporary. And if I would have stopped at every line that I drew since I met Jesus in 2008, I would probably still be the same person I was in 2008. Well, yeah, I'm willing to accept the free gift of salvation. Hallelujah. That's it. That's all I want. And God went, blew the line away. And I'm like, well, I got to draw another line. He just keeps blowing those lines away. Those lines are temporary. And the sooner that we realize this, the more glory God will get from our lives. You know, the only two things that are permanent in this world, right? The two things that are eternal are the souls of men and the word of God. We think these lines and these decisions that we make are permanent and eternal. So when God instructs us to do what we think is impossible or crazy, what if we just made ourselves available to be used by Him? Before we knew Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we submitted to others sometimes, right? But if we have a relationship with Christ today, then God is our authority and we submit to Him now, just as these tribes are understanding that, okay, Moses is gone and we once submitted to Moses, but now Joshua, you're the new leader and now we will hearken unto thee. We will listen to thee. We will follow thee. We will do whatever you say. We will go wherever you go. Now God has appointed Joshua to lead, right? And they state that very, very clearly in verse 17. As they say, just like we listen to Moses, we're going to listen to you, Joshua. In life, things change. New leaders come and go. New bosses come and go. New pastors come and go. It's an ever-changing world that we live in, right? But with God, He's constant. He's a sustainer. He's the provider. He's the way maker. And He was about to make a way for these folks to get across an uncrossable obstacle in their lives. And these 2.5 tribes were on board to follow the plan. Complete obedience. Complete obedience. Because oftentimes our obedience is not complete obedience. Our obedience is, I'll do this, but. We add the but, right? We get the big but in the way, and then things, we're like, I'm cool with all of it but this part. These guys could have been like, I'm cool with that, but my smoking hot wife must come with me, right? I need her. They didn't say any of that. We're willing to leave them all behind. We're willing to go. Where is that in our lives today, church? Where is our complete obedience to the Lord? Do we have that? Or is it just when it's easy? Just when we feel like it? These folks were about to leave everything that they had worked for, everything that they'd loved, to go and do something for others. Sacrificing self for the sake of others. Greater love hath no man than a man lay down his life for his friends. Right? Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3 says this. Fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And how do you do this? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We must have God's word in us, right? Our minds must be transformed. They must be completely changed by God's word, okay? And it has to happen, or we're not going to do, we're not going to apply any of this to our life. Sacrifice, it means nothing, because we're not willing to sacrifice Jack. But if we get God's mind, right? If we are clean vessels where God's mind or God's word is just plowing through us, man, it's just powerful because we know it's powerful. That's going to be what happens to other people around us. Because here's the thing. These folks had to be sacrificing their self for the sake of others, because if they didn't, we know, like I said earlier, that their sin would find them out. They would be in complete sin. And sin bites. It has consequences and affects more than others. Okay, I got ahead of myself on that. So the children of Israel would suffer if they were not willing to be obedient. But these guys were serious, y'all. That's what's amazing about this. They were serious. They bought into the plan completely. And then in verse 18, they're like, wow, these guys are awesome. Because it says right there in verse 18, whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandments and will not hearken unto thy words and all thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. God takes his word serious. These people were taking this word serious. They're like, listen, Josh, if these guys won't listen to you, if people won't listen to you, we'll kill them. We'll take care of them. We'll go before you. We'll clear the way. We're willing to do that. Somebody wants to rebel against you, just let us know. We'll take care of it. When God instructs his children to do something, he expects us to actually do it. And it's not in our timing. And it's in God's timing. Not when we have time, because we will never have time. Not when we feel like it, because we'll never feel like it. Not when it's easy, because it's never going to be easy. Not when it's attractive, because it's never going to be attractive. The list goes on and on and on, because there'll be an excuse for every single one of those in our life. The time's just not right. I'm super busy. I have some things I need to take care of. Church's time, it's a time for a great awakening, a time for us to wake up. It's time to get after it. It's time to be obedient. And next week, we're going to have some cards. Okay, Trav already mentioned that, but just for time out for just a second. We're going to have some cards to simply invite people to come to church. Okay? What if we took that, invite somebody to church, to we're going to bring somebody to church. We're going to take action. And we're going to search until we find somebody that'll come. Okay? Instead of just going to the gas station and be like, well, Pastor Thompson, I got to get this card. Here, take this card. Woo! Got my job done, right? But instead saying, hey, man, what are you doing next Sunday? Can you come to church? No. Okay, well, I'm going to go to somebody else that can, right? And we'll just, what if we search until we find somebody that'll just simply come to church to hear God's word and have a meal from y'all? What if we would take it serious? What if we would take it one step farther, except for instead of just checking it off the list, I have to get rid of this card, I have to get rid of this card, I have to, right? Because that's what we think. They gave me this card, I have to do it, give it to somebody, right? I'll give it to the little kid at Walmart, right? With the easy button, what if we engage with somebody? What if we really bring someone, right? Went to Leavenworth Prison with Travis one time, on the good side. And their slogan is to bring one. So he, you know what he did? He brought me. He was obedient to their mission. Bring somebody. Bring one. I was the one. There was multiple ones, but he searched until he found one that would go. Are you crazy enough to go to Leavenworth? Heck yeah, let's go to Leavenworth, right? It was a great time. They let us out. It was awesome. We must be diligent. We must not look for the easy button. We must be willing to leave everything behind, all of our comfort things. These guys were radicals because they left everything behind. Their land, their wives, their children, their livestock, everything that they'd worked for, they're about to leave it behind to go and do what they said they would do. And what if we would be like that? What if we would be willing to be obedient like that? How would our lives change? God's telling us to go. There's an opportunity that is great. The opportunity to share the gospel has never been greater than today. It hasn't. You say, well, tomorrow's going to be better. Yeah, but we don't know if tomorrow's coming. The opportunity has never been greater. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So you need to be right now thinking about who you're bringing on the 27th to church. And you better start praying, because it's going to have to be God that does it. And this passage wraps up again with the statement, only be strong and of good courage. As we go out and we have these little business cards that say, come eat with us, right? Whatever it's going to say. I don't know, Tom and Beck are pretty crafty about that. We're going to need God's strength and we're going to need God's courage to actually do what we're asked to do. And these people, and the 2.5 tribes are reminding Joshua, hey, no matter what happens, you just be strong and be of good courage. God had already told Joshua that. So this was like their theme of their time, right? This is like what they're holding on to, what they're doing. And they needed to be strong and of good courage. They're about to go across this river and they're about to engage in battles and they're about to do crazy things, and it was going to take courage and strength that only came from God. Joshua needed men in his life to encourage him like this. Just like each and every one of you need each and every one of us to encourage each other. We need to be encouraged. You know, this encouragement can come in a few different ways, but first and foremost, it comes from God's word. Because, you know, it's easy to pat somebody on the back or the rear end and say, it's okay, right? Everything's going to be okay, but in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You want to encourage somebody with something? Give them the word. Give them the word. They don't want the word necessarily. They want you to tap them on the back and tell them, cry on my shoulder and let me tell you a story. But really what they truly need is God's word. What we truly need is God's word. Our flesh wants comforted, right? Like a little baby. Our spirit's like, give me some daggum meat. Give me something, right? Give me something that's not going to make my flesh feel good. That's crazy thinking. The second way to be encouraged is through love. Right? We need to love one another. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, says this. 1 Peter 4:8 through 10. And above all things, have fervent charity. That's that smoking hot love, right? Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be loving one another. We need to be encouraging them through love, encouraging them through God's word, and watching God do the work. Great leaders come from great followers. It's been proven over and over and over again. These men were willing to follow Joshua into the promised land, to go to battle. They had nothing to gain from this whatsoever. And they were willing to stand up for their leader. And they say, we will hold others accountable for their actions as well. In church, it's important for us to understand how important it is to be there for our brothers and sisters, to pour the word into each other, to hold one another accountable, to stay on course, to stay grounded in God's word, and to stay on mission, and to love one another. So to wrap this up, are you giving God the answer that he's looking for? That's a yes or no question, right? It's like going to court and you're on trial and they're asking questions and you're trying to give them some other baloney answer. And he said, I just want a yes or no. I don't need no excuses. Are you giving God the answer he's looking for, yes or no? That's the question that God's asking us right now. He already knows, but sometimes we just need to admit it. He gave us the answer that we were looking for through a relationship with his son. And we should be desire to be obedient worshipers, to answer the call. But we first must be prepared to answer. Right? Because if we're not prepared, why are we not prepared? Why can't I go? Why can't I share the word? Here's the thing, it's time to get that right. The body of Christ is amazing, right? God's gifted so many people with the ability to teach God's word, to walk alongside of each other, to help us to be prepared so that when God says go, we can go. Right? Just like this mission trip to Oaxaca, there's some parameters, okay? Discipleship, it has to have come first before you can go, right? You need to learn God's word, submit to his word, be established in God's word, because the word's first. And then we can go. We're not going to go share the gospel with somebody. Well, we don't know the gospel. Because that would just be, I don't know what I'm doing. Give me a card, I can read it to them. There's no heart in that. People can read their own cards. That's like going to a class where the teacher gives you notes and reads them word for word. And I'm like, this is the dumbest thing that I've ever been a part of, right? I can read. I don't need you to read this to me. Where's the heart? We need heart in this. And that starts today, to get prepared to go. Because if you don't get prepared, you're never going to go. We've got to be willing to leave our stuff behind and just be obedient. I'll end you with this verse in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. It says, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. It's a daily battle. There's things in our lives that want to distract us. There's things in our life that want to drag us down, that want to pull us away from God. And God says, just come after me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and let's get going. Let's pray.